This is the Life in the Front Office Plus, where we dive deeper into personal and professional development, share nuggets and highlights from previous episodes, and bring you new content to provide insights and perspectives beyond the front office. Enjoy today's episode. Sales, I mean, I wish there was like an acronym that went along with sales, but let's just jump right into it. So your mindset when selling, you've been at multiple places, PGA Tour, Fenway Sports Management, AEG, the list goes on, but the mindset you have to have when you're selling.
It's a good one, you know, and right off the bat, you kind of need to be a energetic people person, like, you know, that type A type personality, because it's for all the glamour that people think is a good part about sales. And there's a lot of it. There's the back end aspect of it, which is there's a lot of work in there where you're getting a ton of no's, a ton of people saying, no, thank you. Get out of my way. Like, stop talking to me. And so you got to be persistent and really, you know, don't take no for an answer and just kind of keep going and move forward from there. So I think from a mindset perspective, it's just really being gung-ho about that part of it. And then being a people person, you know, having those relationships and building them. And I've really focused my career on the sponsorship side of sales. So working across not just kind of the ticket sales, which can be a bit more transactional, not always, but a lot of the time, it's far more, you know, larger partnership deals across the various sports that I've worked across. So when you're working on those, it is building a relationship, understanding that company. And I think that, you know, really being a person who can get in and understand that and work with them and build those relationships helps in terms of when you're actually closing the deal and selling.
There's an approach to it as well in terms of whether it's, you know, you mentioned ticket sales being a little bit more transactional. There's a kind of a patience factor, right? The patience seesaw of like, okay, is this deal getting done? Is it not getting done? You know, I love the saying of like, it's much better to have a no than a maybe, right? Like, let's just move on. I love the dating analogy, right? In a sense. Mm-hmm.
It's always funny, you know, one of the things I think, especially early on in sales, is that understanding when a deal should be closed and kind of push it up to the side, because to your point, a no is so much better. Like if you have a deal that's been dragging on for months and months and months, like there's a good chance that that's probably not happening and you're wasting your time on it versus just getting a no and being able to focus on new opportunities. And early in your career, a lot of the times in sales, you tend to hold on to those because you don't have a lot going on, or there might not be a ton of opportunities in your pipeline at the moment. So one of the biggest challenges is really focusing on building that pipeline and having lots of different opportunities, so you're not just holding on to the ones that might be dragging on and you'd rather just cut them and be like, you know what? No, those are done. It's tough. It's hard to learn that. When I was at AEG, I really wanted to just kind of bump up what I was doing on the sales side. So I took an outside course, and it was a Sandler training course. And I highly recommend that for anyone who's looking to get into sales in general. And it was broad across the board, any type of sales. It didn't specify sports. It was really just everything. And one of the things that really stuck with me from that training course, outside of like, I got a ton of great information from them and it got me rejuvenated, excited to go back to work. But they had a sheet and it was kind of like a laid out of a person who has their pipeline and, you know, how long they've been working on something, where, how close they are to closing. And it had nothing to do with sports or anything that I did, but it's all the same thing, no matter where you are. Like the pipeline showed a bunch of deals that had been sitting there for months at a time and the person just hadn't closed them out. So it looked like there was a lot on there, but when you actually went through line by line, there wasn't very much that was like actual valuable partnership sales that you think would close. So to your point, there's so many great people who can help out. Like a lot of times there's people who can save time by doing the research on, you know, I can provide them a list of companies that I want to look into. And it's like, they give me a list of all the right people in the organization who I should be reaching out to. Like that legwork is all done for you. And then it's the matter of taking that time to reach out to them. And, you know, another stat that I've seen, which is, you know, typically most salespeople will reach out anywhere from 1 to 3 times to a person to really get results. I think it's like 8 to 10 times of outreach for a person who you're sending an email, they're not responding, sending an email, no response. That's often when you actually end up getting the response. And so I think a lot of the times you have that help, and it's really, but working hard on your side to be able to make it successful. You know, I think it's a really interesting part about finding a sales organization where you can be successful. And it really does range, and you don't necessarily fit into every sort of sales organization depending on your style, your personality, kind of how you work, you know? So I, starting out when I was at the PGA Tour, most of those partnerships I was working on were business development, larger partnerships across tour, you know, title sponsors, official marketing partners. So the strategy that we had behind how we did partnership sales was very focused on the company, what their brand goals and objectives are, really building out a partnership that applies to them. And it was customized. You know, moving to AEG afterwards definitely had that same mindset, but it was much more of a sales first organization where it was a quick, a little bit more transactional overall. You could be super creative with some of the partnerships, so I don't want to say that on their behalf, but it was a lot more of a go, go, go type organization. And some people thrive in that environment and it's fantastic. You can do unbelievably good job, but it was, you know, there can be challenges with that too, especially I struggled just coming from an organization that was a different pace, different mindset, everything. FSM has been was a more kind of middle ground in the sense that it was a bit more of that sales environment, definitely successful on that front, but more of a balanced approach in terms of how they customize things a little bit more went on that front. So it's been a really interesting standpoint going from organization to organization where, you know, there are some where people walk in or like, tell me your top five companies right now. I need to know, you know, and you better be on top of your game and know exactly what companies you've got going, and you better get those closed in the next few months or else, you know, sales can be cutthroat. And sometimes it's a little bit more casual than that. It varies by organization.
And regionally speaking too, like the difference in whether, you know, A, we can talk about local sales versus regional sales versus national sales. Yep. Three entirely different things.
Totally. Yeah. And it's a different approach too. So, you know, regionally, I think that there are definitely differences in terms of how styles of personality, this, you know, across the board, the South can be a bit more laid back and passive when it comes to stuff. The, you know, East Coast is obviously boom, 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 blunt as can be, you know, that's been my personality type, that's standard. So it definitely varies from that standpoint. But then it is regionally, you know, if you're going after a local business that's, say, when I was in Los Angeles, like only in Los Angeles, that's going to be very different than a company that's looking to build globally. Say when I was with, you know, FSM looking at Liverpool, they're going to have a different mindset in terms of how they're going to approach sales and sponsorships. You have, you know, on the local sale, it might be a smaller investment, but for them, that's their major marketing budget for the year. So there's going to be a different approach, even in terms of how you look at that sale and go into it in terms of how you're talking to them, how you're building those relationships, everything. You know, they're going to be a lot less seasoned than somebody who might be with a big organization like a Budweiser, you know, Anheuser-Busch that has been through it, knows what they're looking for in every market.
Yeah. And we were talking a lot about process, like the communication styles too. Look, if you're, you know, we on the Life in the Front Office, we partnered with Sports Digita and we're doing a really neat content, you know, theme series there in partnership with them. And like, they are the cutting edge of digital presentations, and it is the coolest thing. It's so efficient, and you've got analytics on the background and it, but sometimes like you just need a PDF or a bullet point email, or you have to know how the person on the other end is wants to receive whatever they're receiving, you know, in terms of proposal, et cetera. So how do you go about figuring out those communication styles? You might have a really young entrepreneur CEO that just wants to text, right? Like, or Snapchat or whatever.
It happens, you know, and that's the fun part where it's like, that is building the relationships with them. Like, I think there's such a crucial part, you know, when you're going into a sales pitch, deal, conversation, anything, you never want to just like jump right into it. It's that little chit chat at the beginning can tell you so much about the person, what they care about, what their interests are. Like, that's the sort of stuff where I had an old boss who taught me, and I've done this ever since with everything, with, you know, just in terms of keeping notes on every conversation that you're in. I used to just keep notes on the, you know, the basics of what I was looking for, the deal, what were the core points. But what I started doing over the years was not just that, it was taking notes on the things like what their kids' names are, how often, you know, they're going on a vacation to here, whatever it might be, so that when you're coming back and doing that next call, it's like, oh, how was your trip down to Mexico? Like, did you have a nice time? And all of a sudden you've built that relationship in a way, you're learning their style, you're learning the different parts about what makes them who they are. And it helps so much because you're talking to a lot of people when it comes to sales. So sometimes those things might not always be top of mind when you're trying to remember it afterwards. So it's important to kind of work on.
Thanks for listening to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office Plus. And remember to share with a friend or colleague, leave a review, and tune in to each weekly or monthly episode across our shows.